The Journal is a new podcast from Gimlet Media and The Wall Street Journal about money, business, and power.
On this show, we show you how a company's bottom line affects the decisions you make every day.
Google's entire future is predicated on it continuing to be the one place you go for the answer to all information.
We follow the money and see where it takes us.
This is one of the biggest financial heists that has ever happened, period.
The Journal is out now.
On Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sponsored by Merrill and LinkedIn.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. You've heard a lot about the $1.5 trillion student debt crisis. Well, now actor Ashton Kutcher is behind a new reality TV show with a unique take on helping students pay down their balances. We'll take a listen in a moment. First, some money and market news you should know. There was bad news and good news in the September retail sales report. American shoppers pulled back on spending in September, with purchases at stores and restaurants as well as online falling for the first time since February. That's the bad. The good news is part of that drop was because gas prices were down, which impacted sales at gas stations. Americans also spent about 1% less on vehicles in September, a turnaround from a 2% gain in August. A separate measure of U.S. consumer spending suggests uncertainties around trade are weighing on other parts of the global economy. Personal consumption expenditures slowed more than expected in August. Manufacturing and service sector activity in the U.S. and the Eurozone has also slowed. A report from LeanIn.org and McKinsey & Company indicates more women are being hired for director-level jobs and higher, and women in senior-level roles are being promoted at higher rates than their male counterparts. But while representation of women in the so-called C-suite grew 22% by 2018, it fell 1% in 2019. The report also found women are still significantly underrepresented at all levels of management, accounting for just 1 in 5 executives. But women are leaving jobs at a slower pace than men, and they're on par with men when it comes to asking for promotions and raises.
The Journal is a new podcast from Gimlet Media and The Wall Street Journal about money, business, and power.
On this show, we show you how a company's bottom line affects the decisions you make every day.
Google's entire future is predicated on it continuing to be the one place you go for the answer to all information.
We follow the money and see where it takes us.
This is one of the biggest financial heists that has ever happened, period.
The Journal is out now.
On Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sponsored by Merrill and LinkedIn.
A new TV show debuts this week that tackles a financial problem impacting millions of students and families around the country. The $1.5 trillion student debt crisis. Have a listen.
When the world is pushing down on you, it's very hard.
I'm broke, and I work all of the time. It doesn't feel like I'm paying it off.
I currently live in my car.
We are in a severe amount of debt. Our biggest fear is that we're going to lose our family.
Actor Ashton Kutcher is executive producer behind the show called Going From Broke, and Wall Street Journal reporter Julia Carpenter is here to discuss. So, Julia, this isn't the first TV show to focus on young people mired in debt, but it approaches it from a different angle.
We've seen other shows that take it from kind of this either game show perspective, like Paid Off, or CNBC shows that showcase money icons like Gail Vaz, Oxrade. And this is thinking about it more in terms of a makeover. Ashton Kutcher said that his inspiration for the show was Queer Eye and The Biggest Loser.
And it's not as if somebody just swoops in and pays down a student's debt.
Right.
Many of the young people spotlighted on the show, they face some very tough lifestyle decisions.
Totally, totally. Every episode begins with the two hosts sitting down with the person who's at the center of the episode, and they go over their budget and they estimate how much they spend versus how much they earn, and they kind of crunch that for them and then make suggestions.
One person makes a particularly interesting point in one of the promos for the show.
I was able to take out $80,000 in loans. No 18-year-old should be able to do that.
You know, Julia, that's a lot of money for an 18-year-old to take out. I don't know that an 18-year-old would be able to take that much money out for a house.
It's interesting because listening to the amounts of money that people were grappling with on the show, it's it's something that's really emotionally afflicting as well as changing their lifestyle. So the show's kind of dealing with both of those pieces of it. One of the women we heard in the promo, she was wrestling with student loan debt and ultimately decides, kind of with the help of the host, that she's going to sign up for income-based repayment. And they talk over the course of the episode about the benefits of refinancing your student loans, restructuring these payments in different ways. But they're also talking a lot with her about that emotional toll. I think she says at one point in the show, like, the world is pressing down on me. Like, I'm unable to make these payments. I'm dealing with these other things. Here's my other budget concerns. Like, how am I even meant to get going with this?
And, you know, whether it's student debt, a house mortgage, automobile debt, debt's not going to go away. So you may as well learn these lessons and then take them forward.
Yeah. I mean, I think the ultimate goal is that the debt will go away. I think the ultimate goal is, like, figure out how to make payments toward this, or how to kind of minimize what you're already spending. Like, there's one couple in the show, Max and Megan. They're really deep in credit card debt. They have 12 credit cards they have to cut.
Yeah, you know what? And I saw a clip, and the host of the show just puts his hand on his forehead and goes, Yeah.
It's a really big moment.
That's a lot of credit cards when you're trying to get out of a mountain of debt.
Totally. I mean, but again, the circumstance behind that, and I try to touch on this a bit in the piece, is that, and there's a great consumer advocate I spoke with, and he said, you know, debt happens. Like, debt is always an accident away. It's always a layoff away. And that couple in the show, the background of their circumstance is that she'd recently been laid off. He'd been in an accident and so had to go on injury leave from his job. So they were relying on these credit cards basically to make ends meet. And by the time the hosts come in, they're like, you don't have to do this. There's other ways to handle this. But there are also these huge structural issues kind of looming in the background of each episode.
And, you know, debt can be a good thing. It can prove to credit card companies, it can prove to agencies that you can pay down, you can be responsible, you can structure payments. And so it's important that if you can wipe away your student debt, being able to have that skill can really help you in your lifestyle and build your life in years to come.
I think the point they're making in the show is that debt, the emotional toll that debt takes on each of these participants is so, it affects everything. It affects every other decision they make in their life. So approaching the problems, whether it be one of the examples in the first episode is that the couple decides that they only need one car, and the one car they're going to rely on, they're actually going to wrap their car in an advertisement, and that can handle the car payment. With Miracle, she decides she's going to sign up for income-based repayment because it is, as she's building her music career.
Miracle is a woman in the promo we heard
yes,
at the start of the interview.
Yes. And she says, you know, as I'm building my music career, like, I'm going to sign up for income-based repayment so that I can structure my payments accordingly.
The show also walks a bit of a legal tightrope involving the promotion of financial products.
Right. Yeah. That was something that was really interesting to me when I was researching this, because it's not necessarily a legal tightrope. There's actually not a lot of rules from the FTC or the FCC about what you can promote in the show. But it's something I think viewers definitely need to be kind of cognizant of when they're watching it. You know, you take a break and promote the Acorns debit card. There's a whole scene where they go sit down at State Farm and sign up for renter's insurance. There's these product placements or these advertisements that are kind of already integrated into the programming, and you just got to watch for the brand on the front end.
But the show plans some sort of disclaimer, doesn't it, at some point?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what the FTC and the FCC say is required.
Now, besides being executive producer, does Ashton Kutcher have some sort of financial relationship with the companies involved?
Right. Yeah. He's a one-time investor in two of the sponsors of the show. And then he is an investor in Acorns. Pete, our reporter, has written about that in the past. And Acorns has partnered with celebrities like Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez. So they already have relationships with other big names like that. And he also makes an appearance in the show. He makes an appearance at one point to give some advice to this aspiring actor.
All right. The show is going from broke streams on Chicken Soup for the Soul and on Sony's Crackle service. And Wall Street Journal reporter Julia Carpenter is good enough to be here in our studio. Julia, thanks for coming on the show.
Great. Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.